Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Oh, I just thought we'd do that. That's fun, isn't it? So now you know a Bible verse set to music that the next time you look at it, you think, oh, I know that one. Look, now we're all being vocal and singing out, I'm calling out, I'm going to ask you a question. And the answer to the question, I'm going to ask you a number of questions. The answer I'm fishing for is I do. Okay, so just imagine you're an old-fashioned wedding service where now they say I will, but they used to say I do. Providing that you do, if you don't, then don't say I do. Okay, but the answer I'm fishing for is I do. So, who here wants to know the Bible better?
Yeah.
Who here thinks that Sunday sermons can help make that happen? Who here thinks that also studying away from a Sunday on your own or in groups can also make that happen? Chris, we got Bible study on Wednesday?
On Tuesday.
Tuesday? Yeah. When is it? Tuesday?
Tuesday was at 8 o'clock at the building behind church.
Tuesday, 7 p.m. You know, Claire, I won't ask you again. Claire, was it? 7 p.m. Where is it? At the back. Brilliant. Tuesday, you're going to be studying the Bible.
Yeah.
This bit of the Bible? Yeah! All right, great. Our last question. Who wants to know two fantastic Bible study resources? Well, in that case, I'm not going to hold back. The first one is called The Bible from Scratch. And it's £8 on Amazon. And it's really, really simple, introductory, give you an idea of every book in the Bible. I cannot recommend it highly enough. If you're looking at a book in the Bible and you're thinking, I know nothing about that book, you look in the Bible from scratch and you get instantly an overview that takes you probably about 10 minutes to read, and you get a handle on every book of the Bible. So I want to recommend that and encourage you to rush out and buy it and get yourself a copy like that. The other excellent Bible study resource is free, and I'm sure many of you already know it. The Bible Project, you know the Bible Project videos? Absolutely brilliant, theologically out of this world and really creative and fantastic. So I just wanted to recommend those two, because this term we are looking at 1 Peter. It may be part of the Bible that you have never read. It might be a part of the Bible like me and my kids. You know one verse of fluently. It might be, you know, more than one verse. But we're going to be getting into that following on from Easter, when we looked at the death and the resurrection of Jesus through Peter's eyes. Those of you who first saw the publicity, did you get it? Did you get why there was a rooster? Do you get it now? Yeah? It was Peter, you know, Peter, the cock crow, the rooster. Yeah, it's obvious now, isn't it? Why the rooster is laying an egg, it was just a sort of a fun idea of connecting it to Easter. But we looked at Peter. Easter was good this year, wasn't it? Eh? I mean, it's good every year. It's pretty good this year. I was really pleased. And we looked at Easter through Peter's eyes. So as a continuation of that, we're going to look at 1 Peter, this letter that he wrote. And we're calling this series Pearls from a Fisherman. 1 Peter, Pearls from a Fisherman. Who can tell me why we would call it Pearls from a Fisherman?
I do.
No, that was earlier, Henry. Who's going to, come on, someone over here. Why would we call this sermon series Pearls from a Fisherman? You're all trying not to make eye contact now. I'm going to choose someone. I'm going to pick us up. Michael, why do you think we would call this Pearls from a Fisherman? Because Peter was a fisherman. Should we give him a round of applause? Absolutely right. He was a fisherman, and you know, pearls, you sort of find them from clams and things. So we thought that was clever. My job this evening is to kick us off with a general overview of the letter that we call 1 Peter, and I've entitled it Who, What, When, and Why, and I'm going to indeed answer those questions by way of playing you a section from the Bible Project, a clip from the Bible Project video on 1 Peter, and then I'm going to ask you a quiz. Am I going to split you like here? You're going to be one team, and you're going to be the other team, and we're going to pit you this team against that team to see who wins the quiz. So watch this clip. It's about 3 minutes long. It's just an edited version of the longer video. Have a good look at it, and then I'm going to give you some quiz questions.
The first letter of Peter. His name was Shimon, or Simon, when he first became a follower of Jesus, and he was part of the inner circle of the 12 disciples. When he made his confession that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus changed his name to Kephas, which is Aramaic for rock, which was later translated into Greek as Petros or Peter. Jesus promised that he would become a leader among the apostles to guide the messianic community in Jerusalem through its earliest years. And that's what happened. Remember the early chapters of the book of Acts. Eventually, Peter was called to carry the good news of Jesus beyond the borders of Israel, however, and this letter was written decades into that mission in the wider Roman world. We discover at the conclusion of this letter that Peter is in Rome, which he calls Babylon, and we learn that while Peter commissioned the letter, it was actually composed by a man named Silvanus, who was a co-worker of Peter. This was a circular letter sent to multiple church communities in the Roman province of Asia Minor, which is in modern-day Turkey. And Peter learned that these mostly non-Jewish Christians were persecuted. They were facing hostility and harassment from their Greek and Roman neighbors. And so Peter wrote to encourage them in the midst of their suffering. And this helps explain the letter's design and its main themes. It opens with a greeting, and then it moves into a poetic song of praise to God, which introduces the key themes that are explored in the main body of the letter, where he first affirms the new family identity of these persecuted Christians, which will help them see their suffering as a way to bear witness to Jesus. And this has a way of focusing their future hopes on the return of Jesus. Let's dive in. You'll just see how all the pieces work together. So Peter opens by greeting these churches as the chosen people of God who are exiled around the world. Now, Peter makes clear throughout the letter that these Christians he's writing to are Gentiles. But here he describes them with phrases from the Old Testament that describe how God chose the people of Israel, the family of Abraham, who was himself an exile and wanderer. This is a key strategy that Peter repeats through the whole letter. He wants these suffering non-Jewish Christians to see that through Jesus, they now belong to the family of Abraham. And so they're wandering exiles just like him, misunderstood, they're mistreated, and they're looking for their true home in the promised land. Peter continues this idea in Peter concludes with a prayer for divine strength, and he sends a greeting from the church in Rome, which he calls Babylon. Now, this is cool. Peter's adopting here the tradition of the Old Testament prophets, for whom the name Babylon became an archetype for any and every corrupt nation. And so Rome has become the new Babylon, and its empire is where God's people are now exiled from their true home in the renewed creation. Peter's first letter is a powerful reminder of Christian hope in the midst of suffering. God's people have been a misunderstood minority from the very beginning, and they should expect to face hostility because they've chosen to live under the rule of a different king, Jesus. However, persecution can become a strange gift to the church because it offers a chance to show others the surprising generosity and love of Jesus, which is fueled by the hope of his return. And that's what 1 Peter is all about.
How cool is that? Isn't that good? So if you've not already discovered the Bible Project, there it is. I recommend it to you as a free resource. Okay, this side. What is the original name of the author of this letter? Someone call out? You were right, the first... No? Okay, there you got it wrong. It's Simon. Simon, right. Okay, hang on a minute. Right, you lot. Right, everything to play for now. What new Aramaic name did Jesus give to Simon? It was mentioned right at the beginning. Cephas, yeah, or Cephas. Well done. 1 point this side. You need to keep your own things. There he is, Cephas, meaning rock, the Aramaic name. Okay, what is the Greek equivalent of Cephas? Petros, well done. A Greek speaker, that's it. Petros or Peter. You don't get extra points for that, though. You're still one. You're still one behind this time. Petros. So it's a lot of names flying around. Is he Cephas? Is he Peter? Is he Petros? But it's all the same guy. What's the Mandarin for Peter? Sorry, what's going on? No, it's all right. No, you missed your opportunity. Now, where was Peter? I'm just joking. Where was Peter established as the early church as a key leader of the early church, where was he based? I did say it, but that's not where he was based. As he ended up there, quite right. Where was he based? Jerusalem, I heard. Well done, this side. Jerusalem. Very good. Theology teacher. Did you already know that, or did you hear that from... You knew that one. That still counts. This side is ahead. Come on, this side. When was Peter called to take the good news beyond the borders of Israel to the Gentiles? When in the Bible? It was mentioned, albeit very briefly. Whenabouts in the Bible? Sorry? No, go on. You won't lose points. Actually, you might, actually, yeah. But around that time. Did you say Acts? In Acts, that's right. That's right. Acts of the Apostles. Acts. It was Acts chapter 10. You remember he has this whole experience. Peter's praying on the roof of a house, and the sheet descends, and he's told to eat non-kosher food, and he's, oh, I'm not going to do that. And three times it happens, and at the same time, then some Gentiles come and say, would you come and share the gospel with us? And Peter puts two and two together and thinks, God's telling me now to take the gospel to the Gentiles. So well done, this team. Another point. Is someone keeping track of the points? I hope you are. Well, where do we think Peter wrote this letter? That's right, Rome. Well done. We think that he was in Rome, and I'm going to say more about that later. What was the name of the guy who penned this letter for Peter? Silvanus. Well done. Now, here's a chance for you to make up that point. You can get an extra point for this. Who was Silvanus? We know him by another name in the New Testament. Mm-mm. Do you know? Does anyone other than Emma want to steal this point from this or Henry? It's not Mark, but it's a good guess. And I'll tell you why it's a good guess in a moment. It's actually, Silvanus is a guy called Silas. We read about him in the latter part of Acts. Silvanus is actually the Latin form of the name Silas. And Silas we meet in Acts 15. Paul and Barnabas, they're traveling, they're taking the gospel, they're taking the message of Jesus all over the shop. And oh, keep it up, Rena. Don't move on too quick. That's it. Go back. They're taking the gospel, Paul and Barnabas, and they have a sharp disagreement, we're told, because of a guy called John Mark. John Mark is the guy that we think is the Mark who wrote the Gospel of Mark, a close associate of Peter. So actually, Mark's gospel really is often, in theological circles, referred to as Peter's gospel. We think it was Peter dictating to Mark, and Mark wrote down. So Mark was clearly a good guy, got on well with Peter, but he fell out with Paul. They had a sharp disagreement. Paul and Barnabas went their separate ways, and so Paul needed another travel companion, and he hooked up with this guy called Silvanus, or Silas. And Silas is a Roman citizen, and so he would have had a Latin version of his name. The Latin version was Silvanus, even though we know him mainly as Silas. Peter, a fisherman who is not a highly educated, he was obviously an intelligent man, but he wasn't a highly educated man. He asked John Mark to write down his gospel, and that's what we have, the Gospel of Mark. We've done a whole study series on that. It's online. But to write the letters, Peter got Silvanus, Peter got Silas, another educated guy, to pen the letters for him. And I'm going to say more about that later. So well done. Whose point was that?
I think we're equal.
Did you get it right? Yeah. You didn't get it right. Okay. So this time they're cheating now. So I think it's my turn to ask you this question. Where were the people that Peter was writing this letter to? Where were they based? Asia Minor, very good. And your bonus point, I've just realized these questions are slightly weighted to the easier side of being over here. But never mind. It's just where the cookie crumbles. What's the what's the modern name for Asia Minor? Yeah, modern day Turkey. Well done. 2 points ahead this side. Excellent. When they were mainly from, this is all learning. It's good, isn't it? Fun to learn like this, isn't it? Eh? 1 Peter, you know loads about it already. Right? Yeah. They were mainly the Christians that Peter was writing to. Were they mainly from a Jewish or a Gentile background?
Gentile.
They were from a Gentile background. Well done. Yeah, they were mainly from a Gentile background. And yet Peter calls them things that were used to describe the Jews of the Old Testament. Exactly. Exiled, chosen, God's elect. No bonus points, but I'm impressed. Well done. Both of you, well done. Peter is wanting these Gentile suffering, these Gentile Christians, to clock the fact that they now belong to the family of Abraham. Wandering exiles like Abraham. Chosen by Father God to be his people, like Abraham and his descendants. A promised land of rest awaiting them, like Abraham. Peter is trying to encourage them and saying, you're not the first. This has happened before. You are part of something bigger. You're actually part of all we read about in what we call the Old Testament scriptures. Okay, but they're largely a Gentile readership. So we think Peter is writing from Rome. What rather unflattering euphemism does Peter use to describe Rome? Who said it? That's right, Babylon. Well done. Thank you. Well done, Keith. He describes it as Babylon. What is the name of the Bible study? Here's a question for you. What is the name of the Bible study resource that I recommended earlier? Bible from Scratch. Well done. Another point here. And what is the name of the Bible study resource on YouTube I've just been talking about and we've been watching? There we go. Fantastic. All right. So take an image of that that visual in your mind, because I think it's pretty helpful. So hopefully we're going to get into 1 Peter this term and you're going to really get to grips with it. There's lots of fantastic stuff in there. I've recommended two resources. I would encourage you, every time I watch that Bible Project video, I remember more and more and more. It's very dense, isn't it? The first time I watched it, I thought, I need to take notes. I then tried to watch it slowly and it didn't work. But it's a great resource. I commend it to you, as I do the Bible from Scratch and any other Bible study resources that we've recommended from here over the years. My job, 1 Peter, is to consider the who, what, where, and why. That's what we're going to do, and we're going to do it by way of talking to one another. So if you don't like that, if you don't like talking to the person next to you or being in groups, now's your chance to leave the building. Oh, look, Chris is going already. But no, he's not. He's on sound this evening. Who? We know that the author of this letter is Peter. Oh, we lost the screens. Is that what's happened? Is it salvageable? Did you break it, Rena? It is tired. It's had a long day like me. All right, so hopefully they'll come back. Hopefully they'll come. We've had the best of it anyway. Who wrote the letter that we call 1 Peter? Peter, or Cephas, what was his other name? Simon. Nobody really doubts that, although people have got their knickers into a twist because the style of writing of 1 Peter clearly doesn't behove someone, an uneducated person like a fisherman. And people have said, oh, there's no way that a fisherman could have written this. But they just need to turn to the end of the letter, chapter 5, verse 12, where he credits Silas as having helped him write it. In fact, the phrase that he uses is, I write this with the help of Silas. And with the help of, it literally means, the Greek there literally means, by the means of Silas. He wrote this by the means of Silas. Even though this is Peter's letter, it was written by someone far more literate, which is why there's this disparity between something that's very well written and someone who couldn't have possibly written it himself. He got Silas to write it down. So that's the who of this letter. The what of this letter. There's a fantastic visual which we're not going to get. That's all right. From this very book, a great visual which says it all in a nutshell. And because it's on the screen, I haven't got it written down. But it's something like, this is a letter written to the persecuted church to encourage them not to give up, to encourage them to keep going. Here we go. Great. Have you got that? The what? The next slide? Yeah. How to face persecution and still believe in God. That is this letter in a nutshell, how to face persecution and still believe in God. It's written to Christians in a period of terrible persecution. So it's all about their identity as Christians as they live in a culture that does not honor Jesus. It's all about their identity as Christians and how to live for Jesus in a culture that doesn't. Relevant to them and exactly a lot like us, Andy. Exactly. So there's good stuff in this letter for any church context, including ours. And we're going to get loads out of it over the coming term. That's all I want to say about what, when. When was it written? Well, we know it was written in Peter's lifetime because he dictated it to Silas, and Silas wrote it down using his own words. Probably written in Peter's old age. So if you were here on Easter Sunday morning, we actually had old Peter in the building. And you could see, and he walked all the way up here being interviewed by a very handsome-looking minister. And he wandered up with his cane and he wandered up on the stage and went, "It's amazing." So he was probably about that age when he wrote this letter. And tradition has it that we don't know for sure, but tradition has it that Peter died under arrest in Rome, that he was crucified upside down in Rome. And that chimes with the idea that he's referring at the end to Rome as Babylon. And Rome is not often referred to as Babylon, but it is elsewhere in the scriptures in Revelation 17. Rome, the city of Rome, and the practices of Rome, that pagan city, is described in Revelation as Babylon. And we think that's what is happening here in Peter 5. So we think that it was written while Peter was under arrest or in hot water, struggling himself in Rome. We don't know at what point and how badly he was struggling, but we think it was written by a persecuted Christian who would then go on to face torture and a horrible execution, written by a persecuted Christian to persecuted Christians. Is the when. And the last thing, the why. Well, like all of the letters that we have in the New Testament, 1 Peter was written to encourage and to instruct believers. In this case, to encourage and instruct struggling believers. For me, the key verse in the whole of the letter of 1 Peter is 1 Peter 1, verse 24, which goes, "All people are like grass," and you can think of the Arctic Monkeys now, right? "All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever." Just imagine listening to those words being read, or reading it if you're illiterate, in a context where you are under threat of your life for being a Christian, where you're being persecuted, where this mighty power is rising up and trying to snuff out the church and try and snuff out faith in Jesus. And then you get this letter from someone who is himself being persecuted, who was a close, close friend of Jesus. And he writes, "Friends, all people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever." It's powerful stuff. Now this evening, we've got two very measly portions of the Bible to look at. This is all introduction. We're actually going to look at the Bible together, and we're going to look at it in groups. And what we're going to do is I'm going to read it now to you, and then I'm going to invite you to turn in to groups, twos or threes or larger, and you over there in the cheap seats, if you want to gather together, you can do. And I'm going to ask you, as you read the scriptures again, what strikes you? What jumps out at you from the scriptures? And then you're going to share, and then there'll be one thing that someone shares, and that's what we're going to pray into. Okay, so we're going to do the application of this evening's scriptures together. I don't have a particular application. I've had a few thoughts. But we're going to take something that one of you suggests and says, this is the thing that struck me. And we're going to go, that's great. We're going to pray into that. And then we're going to go our separate ways. Sound like a good end to the evening? Okay. So, Rena, do you want to? I've realized I've got it on the in my thing either. So, I'm going to read it to you, and then you're going to read it together in small groups. You are going to need Bibles for this, of course. There are Bibles over there and on your phone and so forth. But don't get them just yet, because it's on, the words are on the screen, okay? So this is the very opening of 1 Peter. It says, Peter, an apostle of Christ Jesus. That's why we know it's written by Peter, because he says it's written by Peter. And there's no reason to doubt the authenticity of his authorship. 2 Peter is another matter, by the way. There is, I think, legitimate reason to doubt the author that wrote Peter wrote 2 Peter. But 1 Peter, we are confident it was written by the person who said wrote it. Peter, an apostle of Christ Jesus, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. That's his opening to this letter. Now we're going to go to the very end of the letter. And in the next couple of months, we're going to be going through the scriptures in between. This is how the letter ends. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings. I wonder who he could be referring to. Be interesting in your groups. Who is he referring to? Who's in Babylon that's sending these other Christians their greetings? She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends her greetings. And so does my son Mark. There we go. Same guy, Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. But we don't really do that here at St. B's, do we? I'm not sorry. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Well done, you Church of England people, you. Okay, 5 minutes. Talk to one another. Read through those passages again. What strikes you from those two small portions of 1 Peter? And then we're going to pray into it.